Good morning. Everybody been staying warm? All right, bundle up good when you go out, okay? Here at Cornerstone, we're very fortunate to have several people that can get up and deliver a message whatever mic is out for whatever purpose. There's several here in the church. And we kind of rotate through. And I've always been proud of the fact that there's so many people who can do that. But you know, it's a real challenge because since we don't do this full time, it's a little bit difficult to prepare. You know, you take like Eugene, he can't find a quiet place at his house with all those kids running around. He has to leave. I had that for this series today. We're not in a series, so Mike says, do whatever you want to. Well, that's hard, do whatever I want to. So I got to praying about it, and I thought, okay, I've got a subject, and I was all ready to focus and get ready to go there, and then completely changed. What you'll hear today is not even close to what I originally thought about. And I also had a little bit of difficulty in preparing for it. I got my laptop. I started typing earlier this week, started doing the outline, and I had about a page and a half of it done. And I thought, I'm going to move my laptop from here over to the table where I might be a little more comfortable and I could spread out more. And when I moved it, the power cord came undone and my battery's dead. So I lost everything I'd already done. So I was a little aggravated. So I got outside and walked around. Didn't come in till after dark, you know. So I thought, the next night, I'm going to work on it. Now, some of you know Sam Bartlett. He's a good friend of mine. I just had sat down. I got everything in front of me. Sam calls me up. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm preparing notes for the sermon Sunday. He said, you can do that later. I said, it's only Tuesday. Let's go riding over in the farm. Well, here's what's funny. About 2 or 3 months ago, Sam had a service at Cornerstone, at First Baptist, whereas he was talking about distractions in life that gets in your way from your Bible study, from reading the Bible, from doing things like that. And as part of this demonstration, he asked me to, in the middle of his service, walk in his church and holler at him and go up on stage and try to convince him to go riding with me. Because it was a nice, pretty Sunday and, you know, the rain had stopped. So I did this. And So I said, Sam, what are you doing here? I said, you're my distraction. I said, I'm looking on my left, I'm looking on my right, and I got two little Sams. One's white and one's red. I said, which one are you? He said, I'm the red one. Come on, let's go riding. So I didn't do it on Tuesday night. Wednesday night, I sat down at the desktop, and I'm typing away, and I'm kind of in that good mood, you know, I'm going along. And I sit back to think, and the computer thing sits in the floor, and I sit back and I kicked it with my knee when I backed up. I don't know what happened, but that computer's still dead. I can't even get it to come back on. So I had two starts and a blank sheet of paper. So it's been difficult. But I got through it, and I sent all my notes to Eugene so he can do the slides for us this morning. And I said, I'm going to tweak it a little bit. So I get up at 6 this morning. I hit the treadmill. I do a mile and a half. Get off the treadmill, and I go over, and I added a full page this morning at 6:30. So it's been an interesting preparation for this. But, you know, anytime someone's up here and everything, it is difficult. And we do get nervous. Not that we're afraid to stand up in front of you or do something to make yourself look silly. I'm kind of used to that. But to deliver a message and for it be a good message, I just want to do what's great for God and what's great for you guys. So this morning we're going to talk about the characteristics of good service. But before we start, I want to take a look at why we serve. Well, it's pretty simple. As Christians, that's what we're supposed to be doing. The Bible tells us in dozens of scriptures, in both the Old and New Testament, it shares examples and instructs us how to reach out, help, and to serve others. Let's look at this one from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy 15:11. For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in your land. That's pretty self-explanatory. Now, in the New Testament, in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, you didn't know what that means? That means if Christ is in your life, and he's in your heart, and you're striving to do what's correct, you're going to shine like a light to others, and people are going to say, what's different about them? Why do they do this stuff, and why are they happy at doing it, and why are they willing to do all this type of thing? You see, we're supposed to live our lives as example to others, Christians and non-believers, so that they may see God working through us. As Christians, we should be striving to be more like Jesus. No, not look like Jesus, but to live like Jesus. I don't know who that is. That guy's ugly. But we should be living our lives We should be living our lives to live more like Jesus. Jesus was in the serving business. He healed people. He served meals. He counseled those who were troubled. He even furnished refreshments for a wedding party one time. And you may ask, what can I do? How can I help? I can't speak before a group. I can't lead a team. I can't do a Bible study and lead the group. Well, see, God has equipped every one of us with a spiritual gift. Did you know that? Every one of you in here has a spiritual gift. Well, if you don't know what that is, you can go to www.spiritualgiftsdesk.com. And if you'll go to this, there's a survey that you can take. And what you do is you go through this survey and answer all the questions honestly. Don't put on there what you think would sound best, because nobody's going to see it but you. But give good, honest answers, and it'll give you a good evaluation of where you're at. This will help you to see where you fit into the body of Christ. You may already know what you'd like to do and where you'd like to serve, but you haven't got plugged in somewhere yet. Now, we like to use the word plugged in, and I'll give you an example why. Anybody got one of these? What do you do with it every night? You plug it in, and you charge that battery up so it can serve you the next day. If you want toast, what do you do with the toaster? You plug it in. It provides you energy and the heat to toast your bread. So we like to use the word plugged in, because if you plug in somewhere, whether it's here at Cornerstone or in the community or somewhere, you're going to get charged from it. You're going to get energy from it, because God rewards you when you volunteer and you help others and you're plugged into his word and doing his works. Now, the spiritual gifts that you have, there are several of them, and I'm going to read through them, but they're found in Romans 12:6-8, and I'm going to read this for you. We have different spiritual gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophecy is in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is given, then give generously. If it is to lead, do so diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, that's kind of the summary of it. And I'm going to kind of break it down into a few easy terms to look that kind of expands on this a little bit. And I'll go through it rather quickly, because this is a kind of a thumbnail definition of each one of them. Administration. The gift of administration allows a person to organize people and resources for greater efficiency, effectiveness, and success. Apostleship. The gift compels people to reach out to a new and unfamiliar group and individuals to invite them into a relationship with God and the community. Compassion. The gift of compassion moves people to action on behalf of those in need. Discernment is a gift of deep intuition and insight. Evangelism. The gift of evangelism is the gift of faith, sharing, and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to those we meet. faith. The gift of faith is more than belief in Christ. It's an abiding foundation of confidence that works, that God works in all things together for good, and that they that the people of God can rise up above any obstacle. Given, the gift of giving is a deep commitment to provide whatever resources are needed to support God's will and His plan. Healing, the gift of healing is not about transferring spiritual power to eliminate those suffering and disease, but the ability to channel God's grace and healing love to those who suffer physical, emotional, or spiritual pain. Helping is a gift of support and behind-the-scenes efforts that make groups, families, and congregations more effective. Interpretation of tongues. Those who are gifted to interpret tongues help build bridges across cultural, generational, and language divides. Knowledge. The gift of knowledge allows people to automatically convert facts, data, and information into useful, important knowledge. The gift of leadership is a visionary, looking for at the forward-looking gift that enables people to stay focused on where God might be leading us as individuals, congregations, and communities at any given time. Miracles. Those gifted with miracles never doubt the power and presence of God in creation, and we're able to help others see and believe in God's power. Prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the ability to speak God's word to others, or more appropriate, to be open for God to speak His words through us. Servanthood is the gift of doing for others, sometimes to the exclusion of meeting our own personal needs. What that means there is basically sometimes we may need to serve others even when it gets in the way of our own personal plans. Shepherding. The gift of shepherding is a gift of mentoring and providing spiritual guidance to others to help them develop in the discipleship and faith information. Teaching is the gift of teaching, which allows other people to transform data and information into life-changing knowledge. Tongues. The gift of tongues is a communication gift that allows people to speak foreign languages and convey concepts that they have never formally studied. Wisdom is the gift of wisdom, allows people to understand deeper meaning and apply knowledge, beliefs, and experience to everyday situations. So there are several things there that spiritual gifts can cover. And I would invite you to go to this spiritual test site and to take that test and see where you're at. It's really quite intriguing to see where you're at sometimes. There are many ways you can serve that's not even directly related to church functions or here at Cornerstone. You can serve God in your neighborhood, at the grocery store, at the hospital, and the opportunities are endless. Let's look at this next slide. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 35 through 40, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to see me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you have done to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." So basically, it's anywhere. You know, sometimes a smile shared with a stranger can help that person through a tough day. Or stopping to help someone pick up some groceries they've dropped in the parking lot. Maybe being a little more patient with a waitress that's struggling. Or maybe it's being slow to anger at the DMV whenever your legs are going numb, and by the time you get to the window you can barely walk and they tell you you don't have the proper documents to get what you came there for. So there's a lot of different ways that you can show and to share with others, whether you're meaning to or not, whether they are believers or non-believers. While it's easy to help and serve those that we know, you know, friends, family, church members, a real challenge is to step out of our comfort zone and help people that we do not know. Do you know what the comfort zone is? It's not a mattress shop. The comfort zone is where we stay at most of our lives because it's easy. We're familiar with it. We're comfortable. But what Christ challenges us to do is to step out of that comfort zone and be there for someone whom you don't know, to a stranger. Sometimes it may be a little difficult. Many of you know that here at Cornerstone we have a service team. And this team goes out and helps and serves people in our church and others in the community that have needs. A lot of times these people don't fit into the criteria to receive help from government agencies. Some of these people are believers. Some of them, sometimes they are not. Actually, sometimes they may not even deserve help. Because it's easy to say, hey, you put yourself in that situation. You shot yourself in the foot on that one. But this team kind of has a scripture, or it's a motto that we like to follow for the service. It comes from Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Now, it doesn't say we're supposed to qualify people. You're not supposed to find out, hey, is that a good person? They go to church. They don't believe. They're on their own. You don't do that. Galatians 6:10 tells us that we should be doing for all people. Well, that kind of covers why we serve. Now let's talk a little bit about the characteristics of good service. What are the characteristics of good service? You know, we live in a consumer-based society, whether it's the latest phone, television, or simply going out to eat several times a week. How many of you go out to eat several times a week? Raise your hands. That's good. Good. We got, what, four people here that tells the truth? over here, yeah. This morning, nobody in the first service goes out to eat. If they raised their hand, it was kind of like, you know, I didn't see it. But we live in a consumer environment where we go out and we consume things. So therefore, a lot of the business is consumerism. Economists tell us that in America, our economic base has changed from farming to manufacturing to consumerism in a little over 100 years. That's the majority of where it comes from. But if you stop and think about it, if people are consuming goods and services, whom are the people that's doing the serving? And why do they serve? But the real question comes to, what are the characteristics of good service? Have you ever gone to a restaurant and got bad service? Anybody? Yeah, quite a few. Was a server standing around looking at their phone, talking to somebody else? Were there a lot of people there and you had to wait? Perhaps maybe the kitchen was slow or maybe it's understaffed. The reasons could be endless, but the fact is no businessman ever got rich by hiring people to serve that did not care about good service. To receive good service, people have to care. Behind the scenes, there are many people that serve others. Here at Cornerstone, there's dozens of volunteers that operate on Sunday mornings and throughout the week, so that we can come in, we can grab a snack, a cup of coffee, listen to good music, enjoy the worship service, see the scriptures on the screen, and sit down in a clean, comfortable environment so that we can worship. I was noticing this morning as I was back in the back helping in the cafe and everything, of all the people who come in here, I came in this morning at 5 till 8, and there were 6 or 7 people here before me that was already doing things to get this together, because we like to come in and be comfortable. The temperature has to be correct. You know, we don't have any trash laying around here in the parking lot. People do this every Sunday, and we may not realize that. But there's a lot of people who, they do this gladly. I mean, they're a happy bunch. They just, you know, they're here and they're giggling and laughing and going on. But when it really comes down to service jobs in the workplace, unfortunately, if you've ever seen postings for consumer-related positions, you'll find that many employers do not pay a whole lot of money for this type of work. It makes you wonder about caring for customers and looking for good service and not paying people very much. Normally, it's a revolving door. If you've got a restaurant you frequent pretty often, you see wait staff and stuff like that changing. You see a new face all the time. You see someone who's being trained for this position or someone whom you liked is gone. Well, the reason being is because those people who you see quite often and do a good job, they have what's known as a servant's heart. That means they have the deep down desire and love in their hearts to serve other people and make dining there in your meal a good experience. You know, Cheryl and I went out to eat last night, and we was at a local place here. And the waitress comes up, stone face, "Can I get you anything else? How is everything? I hope you enjoyed yourself when you come back to see us." You know, even though she was in the service business, she was really quite monotone, and she was thinking about getting off at 11 o'clock and what they're going to be doing. And because she really wasn't into it. And she wasn't rude, and I'm not saying that. She wasn't rude. She just was very humdrum about everything. For the most part, those who consistently serve others have a servant's heart. And by this I mean that not only do they have that deep down desire, but it gives them self-satisfaction to make others happy. It may be because they were raised in a home where they saw someone else that did this. It could be their parents. Or perhaps they are someone who's truly happy about their life and express it by making others happy. No matter what the cause, the overwhelming majority of people whom consistently serve others is because they have the heart to do so. Now, what does the Bible say about serving others? The Bible teaches us that serving others is a crucial, crucial part of being a follower of Christ. So if you're a Christian, if you want to be a Christian, you need to serve and to help out others. Serving others requires a willingness to invest ourselves into the life of others. Jesus told us when he was asked about the greatest commandment in Mark 12:29-31. "The most important one," Jesus answered, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is the only God, and love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. There are no commandments greater than these." So, you know, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment that a Christian should make? And obviously he wanted you to love God with every part of your being. And he very quickly brought in the second one, is to love thy neighbor as thyself. I know that's tough. That don't mean going next door and giving your neighbor a hug. That means actually caring about them. I had a friend of mine who his business took him going door to door. And he was trying to build his business, and he was going door to door. And he comes over to my house. He's come out in Fairview, so we thought he was lost. But he asked me, "Who lives over here?" And I told him, and he said, "Well, who lives over here?" He said, "Because I kind of like to know the names a little bit before I go." And I told him. He said, "You know what? You would not believe how many times I've stopped at someone's house and talked to them, and I ask them who the neighbor is on this side, and they don't know their name or anything about them. And I ask about this side, and they don't know their name either. And they're living side by side, and they don't know who they are." You can't be loving the neighbor as a self that way. We must first serve others by being forgiving and helpful to those mired in life's issues that are not keeping with what God would have them to do. In other words, we must realize that everyone has their own struggles in life. It's been my personal experience with counseling others that many people have never asked for help because help has never been offered to them, and they don't think anybody cares. Instead, is most often the case, those who claim, who care for them, most of the time, those people whom they thought cared for them really didn't. When they need them the most, they weren't there. And sadly, this is very true with many people who claim to be Christians. This is often because either someone is not biblically equipped to offer help, or they're not willing or patient enough to invest in themselves into the messy business or messy burdensome lives of others. We must realize that when we are willing to serve others, we are directly fulfilling the law of Christ to love God first and then love our neighbors as ourselves. You know, there's been some people that I have, and I don't like the word mentoring because I don't quite feel worthy, but there's some people that I've gotten involved with their lives. And it's really quite fulfilling at times whenever you see people who is really are transitioning, getting to know Christ, and they grow and they develop. I mean, there's some people I've known right now about 7 or 8 years that have turned their lives around completely, that they're following God on a daily basis. They now have families. Most of their problems have gone away, but they still, every once in a while, I'll get a phone call from them, or they'll say, "What are you doing? Can I meet you out at the farm and let's kind of talk a little bit? Or let's go to the shop. You know, I've got a car shop that I tinker on lawnmowers and cars and stuff like that, and we'll sit out there and talk a little bit." And these relationships are very, very gratifying for me that these people, and the thing about it is sometimes little things trip them up, you know, things that I wouldn't even think about. And I've learned more trying to figure out how to help them than I ever did trying to help myself, because I too was at a place one time in my life. And the help that I got came from people in places whom I never would have thought. That they knew me, but I didn't consider them friends, but they reached out to help me. Serving others requires humility. In Galatians 6:3-4, "If anyone thinks that they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to anyone else." Now, I think this is an important one because a lot of times there are some people who serve. But they serve so they look good to other people. They serve because they want people to think they're a good person. Too often people will not invest in helping others. We're on the wrong line here. All right, let's look at this next slide. Serving others requires us to help others grow closer to Christ. In Galatians 6:5-8, "For each should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will receive eternal life." At the end of the day, we can serve all people in the world, but if we're not motivated by helping others to know Christ and to develop a relationship with Him, it has no eternal value. We must realize that our goal is to help them to know Christ and know how and why He was crucified. You know, that's something that was kind of interesting as I was studying this. You know, a lot of people know Christmas is when Christ was born, Easter's when Christ arose, but they just don't understand in between. How He lived His life, why He lived His life, what He did, and why He died. They just don't know that and understand it. And it's pretty simple, and that's a pretty easy way to start out with talking and sharing with people. You got to do this with humility, and it ensures that Christ gets the credit for all the good deeds. To do anything less would make a mockery of God and our faith, which in many cases can directly contribute to the eternal destruction of those whom we claim to serve. And see, the thing about it is, when you're serving, you don't want to complain. You don't want to say, you know, we went and helped those people move. And, you know, they weren't ready. They didn't have stuff packaged up. And that place was a dump. It's terrible. It was terrible. I felt bad. Man, I just, that was a hard move. You don't want to complain. You do it because Christ is in your heart and you make good of it. And sometimes these people are making improvements in their lives and moving someplace that is better. But we don't really want to judge or put on. You also, at the same time, you don't want to brag about it. Now, I share with people a whole lot of the times about our service team, because I'll be honest with you, I'm very proud of this group. This group comes out and helps people who have needs. It may be raining, they'll still show up. It may be hot, they'll still show up. There may be 18 inches of snow in the ground, and people still showed up to help. And that's just an amazing team. And a lot of times I will share this with people, not to boast, but I'm kind of recruiting too. A lot of times if I share with people, I think highly of these people, and I think that they might be a good addition to this. And I share with them how much fun it is and how much good with it this we do and how we share with Christ. Many of you that's on this team or been involved with the team, you know that every time we help someone before we leave, we pray with them about their situation, about their home, and we let them know why we do it. We always quote Galatians 6:10. That's why we do. We don't do it for ourselves. We do it for Christ, and we give him the glory. Let's look at this next slide. Serving others requires patience to keep at it, no matter how long it may take. Let's look at Galatians 6, 9, and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, but for all proper time we will reap, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good for all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So, patience. And stick with it. Let's look at Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Serving with patience reveals what is in our hearts. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and temperance. Continue to serve no matter what. When we love Christ, we allow him to inspire and enable us to serve others no matter how long it may take. This is the very essence of long-suffering and temperance. Continue to serve no matter how long or how hard it may be. So in conclusion, when talking about the characteristics of good service, when it comes to good service, it demonstrates a willingness to invest in the lives of others. It demonstrates humbleness. It strives to help others grow closer to Christ, and it demonstrates patience and steadfastness. Ultimately, our ministry to serve others should demonstrate our love for Christ above all things. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we can be here this morning to hear your word and to learn more about living and being like Christ. We pray that each one of us here can hear this message and go out and find ways to get plugged in and to serve and help others and to share the love of Christ that's in our heart. Be with each one of us and strengthen us. Be with each one of us and strengthen us when we are suddenly startled and we don't know which way to turn in life. I pray that you'll be with each one of us. Lead us and guide us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.